This piece was brought to you by the International Culinary Center, culinarycenter.com.
HeritageRadioNetwork.org. This is the news.
The United Nations will host leaders from around the world for a global summit on climate change on September 23, 2014 in New York City. The UN Secretary General is calling on global leaders to combat the effects of global climate change. In support of Ban Ki-moon, thousands of people will be marching in New York City. The People's Climate March will take place on Sunday, September 21st. It will tell the story of climate change through six themes. In support of the march, Heritage Radio Network is doing a series of interviews addressing each of these themes. In this piece, we will focus on the forefront of change. We're on the line with Anna LePay, an expert on food systems and advocate for sustainable food. She is the founder of the Small Planet Institute and head of the Real Food Media Project. Anna's also an educator and author. Her most recent book is Diet for a Hot Planet. Anna, we're so excited to have you with us today and hear your thoughts on the People's Climate March.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Can you talk about what changes you've observed since the beginning of the climate change movement, and what are the major opportunities for our food system in this summit?
Well, I want to say just how excited I am about the march that you described, the march that's happening this weekend. I think it's really a sign of just how aware people are of the crisis and how committed people are to wanting to do something about it. I'm coming in from California, and I just saw there was 170 people who boarded the Amtrak train near my house out here in California to make their way on the climate train to the marches. So I think that one of the biggest changes that I've seen is just this growing public awareness of the crisis and people really excited to be part of the solutions.
Great. And has that been different from the beginning of the movement?
Well, I think for a long time, of course, those of us who are concerned about climate change were battling the climate change deniers. Of course, now we know that climate change deniers were funded in large part by the fossil fuel industry with obviously vested interests in confusing the public about the crisis. So, you know, if you want to sort of talk about the trajectory of the movement, you know, for a long time, the movement was just purely about we have to educate people that this is real, that the scientific consensus is there. You think about Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth was, you know, so significant in sparking that public awareness. And I think now what is exciting to me about this moment is as much as there's been total stalemate and lack of leadership on the global level from our political leaders and from corporate executives at the helms of the companies driving the crisis, on the ground and around the world, we've seen people taking action in their own communities and really starting to put forward policies and community-based efforts that have really shown the potential to, again, really be part of the solution and be part of turning the tide on the crisis.
Absolutely. And what are you excited about in terms of the food systems opportunities for climate change?
Yes. Well, I'm glad you asked because, of course, the food and climate connection is a theme that's very close to my heart. When I published my last book in 2010 on the connections between food and climate, I felt like I was this lone voice. Or, you know, there was a few of us out there trying to draw those connections. And, of course, now I feel like the theme of food is integrated into conversations about climate across the board. And our message around food and climate is to convey that not only are farmers at the front lines of those most affected by the crisis, you know, they're the ones who are most impacted by climate change already, but that we have to understand that the global food system, especially industrialized food production, is a huge culprit in the climate crisis. So we need to understand that it's part of the crisis, and if we're serious about fixing it, global warming, we have to talk about how all sectors can be part of the solutions. And then the third point that I think is so important to also convey is that when you start looking at what are those climate smart agricultural practices, what does, you know, a low carbon diet look like, those practices and those diet choices are the same choices that are going to really be able to help our bodies thrive and also help the planet thrive and survive in a climate unstable future.
The United Nations Summit on Climate Change represents a great opportunity for world leaders to take a stand on our climate future. We hope the summit's participants will be both bold and visionary in their work. Join Heritage Radio Network and over 1,400 other organizations at the People's Climate March on Sunday, September 21st, 2014, to demand that the world's governments devote their resources to combating climate change. Visit peoplesclimate.org to learn more. This is Caitlin Pierce reporting for heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.